There are so many fascinating birds and animals that call Wisconsin home, but few are as awe-inspiring as eagles. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along today on the Ideas Network as we begin the show by talking about the annual Eagle Days event in Sauk Prairie this coming Saturday. And I'm telling you what, we got a couple of great guys here who are heavily involved in it to talk about eagles and about Eagle Days. Jeb Barzin joined the staff of the International Crane Foundation 25 years ago.
You better speak up there.
Oh, man, he's director of field ecology there. It's hard to believe he's been there 25 years. But he's also a volunteer with the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council and directs their research and monitoring efforts conducted on populations of eagles. And, Jeb, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Randy Jerwitz, a wildlife ecologist, administrator in the DNR's Bureau of Endangered Resources for 32 years. He's been around a little bit, too.
Jeb's just a pup.
Well, you've worked on a whole bunch of endangered species recovery programs over the years, the falcon, peregrine falcon, trumpeter swan, osprey, among others, gray wolves, and, of course, bald eagles, and has helped to organize the Sauk Prairie Eagle Days for many years. And welcome back.
Thank you very much, Larry.
And you were telling me before the show this is going to be a good year for eagle watching, huh?
A very good year, yes. We've got a good, solid winter going. The snow, the deep snow that we had a couple weeks ago really helped cover up the fields. And there are hundreds of eagles up and down the Wisconsin River.
You bet. We just did, Ferry Bluff Eagle Council just did a count on Sunday, and we had 320 birds that are from the Prairie du Sac Dam down to Lone Rock, essentially.
You may have a question as we visit along here. Let me give that number so you can join in, 1-800-642-1234. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question about eagles or about eagle watching days, certainly love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. Keith in Wanakee emailed us, by the way, and said, at the dam there's a sign asking bird watchers to stay in their cars because they may scare the eagles. At the same time, there are often up to a dozen boats fishing below the dam. How can a few bird watchers standing by the small area at the railing at the dam be a problem when the fishermen are, drifting around the eagles' fishing area?
It's a great question because it really hits at how difficult it is to define what disturbance really is. And disturbance for the eagles are things that they're not used to. And so people feeding in the river are not moving, and they often sometimes will produce fish for the eagles. If there's a fish that they catch, especially a small one, they let it go, the birds will fly down and catch it. And many fishers, I'm looking at one musky fisherman right now, many fishers have experienced this on northern lakes in terms of eagles will catch a fish that they've tried to release and wasn't quite 100%, and an eagle will swoop down and catch it.
So the
birds will adjust to that quite well. But people in the parking lot at the dam will tend to be noisy and moving around, and that will cause the birds to no longer perch on that side of the river. They might go and perch on the other side of the river and then fish from there. But if you want a really good viewing experience, if everybody stays in their car to watch the birds will continue to come back to the trees in the area of the parking lot and on that side of the river and continue to sally out from those trees and fish. But as soon as people start getting out of their car, 30 seconds later, 40 seconds later, 60 seconds later, the birds will fly but not come back to those perches. And so people don't view it as their disturbance that move the birds, and they don't realize that they could have a whole lot better experience if there were people staying in their cars, because the birds would be parked, or the birds would be parked. The eagles would be perched in trees that are, 20, 30 meters from them.
You're talking a little bit about the habits of eagles. Maybe we should talk a bit more about it, their size, their diet, the habits, the interesting things about them.
Oh, it's what isn't interesting about
Both of you can chime in on this one, I'm sure, but go ahead, Jeb, to start.
Well, eagles are considered traditionally fish eaters and often carrion feeders, so they'll feed on dead animals, either they be they fish or other animals. That can get eagles into trouble because when they're eating offal from deer hunting, the gut piles and things like that, that can contain lead from the bullets that are being used, and they get sick from that. But they'll also feed on waterfowl. They'll feed on all kinds of different animals if they have an opportunity. They're real opportunists when they are in this, especially in the winter, because that's they're concentrating in these areas because they have access to a lot of different kinds of food, manure or things that are in the manure in agricultural fields, as well as gizzard shad and fish like that in the river.
Yeah,
and it does get them into trouble, too, when they're feeding on carrion, especially roadkill deer in northern Wisconsin, in winter when there's, well, year-round, actually. But one of the leading causes for mortality in our eagle population is getting hit by cars.
Yeah, which you wouldn't think.
You'd never think of that. You know, a bird would usually see them soaring. But when they're feeding on carrion alongside the side of a road, and it takes them several flaps to get going, car comes around the corner, and wham. And so people need to be careful when they're driving around northern Wisconsin, not only for the deer running around, but also for the eagles feeding on the dead deer.
And I've actually had that experience driving along and coming around. I did come around a bend, and there was an eagle right in the ditch. And oh my goodness, I just breathed a sigh of relief. We went right by and kept going, of course. But I thought, oh man, if that eagle had been flying across the road at that instant, I wouldn't have been able to stop.
No.
So Jesse in St. Nazian's has a story for us. Hi, Jesse.
Hello. We lived in Rhinelander and on a pretty little lake with an eagle nest on the lake. And one day we were looking out and watching an eagle soaring, and it dove at a duck on the lake. And it kept diving, and the duck would go down under. And this kept going on for about 10 minutes. Finally, the eagle latched on to the duck, and the duck pulled the eagle under. And a while later, it surfaced, and the eagle flew off without anything in its paws. It was like watching a Walt Disney, movie.
And there, and you guys have observed probably similar kinds of experiences. That's a great story, Jesse. Thanks.
Well, absolutely. You know, and that's a fun thing when you talk about wildlife. The minute that you say what wildlife typically feed on, there is always somebody who will call in and have an exception, and that's the fun part of this because, yes, they will feed on ducks, and that duck might have been an injured duck that the eagle started to harass and so on. And a lot of people don't realize that eagles do swim because when they get pulled into the drink like that, they have to be able to survive, and they'll swim to shore and dry off and be okay.
That's another experience I've had on muskie fishing on one of the northern Wisconsin lakes, watching an eagle kind of swim.
It's not graceful.
No, it certainly isn't. Swim to shore.
Right. But if people do show up this weekend, they'll get to see that type of thing.
Let's talk about this weekend.
At the eagle viewing sites in the Sauk Prairie area, below the dam, the VFW park, the overlook, all those areas, there are eagles there and waterfowl. So every once in a while, the eagles kind of test this one and test that one. But mainly they're feeding on fish in that open water area.
Yeah.
But they're not going to feed, they don't feed on great big fish. People watch these eagles swoop down at the water and just tick the water and keep going. Yeah. And they say, oh, he missed. Or she missed. But they're feeding on shad, which are fairly small fish. And sometimes they're just feeding on parts of shad, that have been chopped up by the turbines in the generator room. Up at the dam. And so they'll come down and they'll just pick up this little fish or this little piece of fish and keep flying. And I've seen this on slow motion film. And then they'll just pop it in their mouth like an M&M and keep going. And
That's great.
Sometimes they miss, but quite often they don't. Yeah. Feeding on those fish. So we get the chance to see all of that if they come out this weekend.
And we sell Gizzard Shad M&Ms after Eagle Days only.
All right. Well, now, give us a sort of the rundown on what happens on that day. It's this coming Saturday.
Well, it's this Saturday, but it starts Friday night.
Yeah.
And if people wanted to have, kind of a low-key but quality and inexpensive date, pack up the family, go to Sauk City, catch the last of the eagles coming in to the roost sites,
mm-hmm.
Which would be, just at evening. Catch one of the wonderful fish fries at mm-hmm. any number of restaurants there, Green Acres, Blue Spoon, Lyestra's. They all have really great fish fries. And then go to the River Arts Center, because at 7 o'clock, there is a live Birds of Prey show. It's the same show they're going to be showing Saturday, but Saturday is going to be very crowded. Mm. So you could take your family and see the live Birds of Prey show, meet eagles, owls, falcons at the live Birds of Prey show, and then on Saturday, come back and do the viewing,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps the free bus tours. Bus tours begin at 9 o'clock in the morning, end at 2:30 in the afternoon. Free bus tour. Did I say free?
Yeah.
Free bus tours, leaving the River Arts Center, and we will pack them up so you don't even have to drive around town. You don't have to bother about having a designated driver mm-hmm. while everybody else gets to look at the eagles. Jump on a bus, and we will drive you around town. We will show you the hot spots for viewing eagles all day long on Saturday. I mentioned that there's going to be another Birds of Prey show on Saturday. That's going to be at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then that live Birds of Prey show and the eagle release down at the VFW Park at 12:30. Marge Gibson of the Raptor Education Group Incorporated out of Antigo, Wisconsin, will have perhaps as many as four eagles to release rehabilitated birds that had lead poisoning or fell out of their nest when they were young. I don't know the causes for all of them, but she'll have eagles there from me to you away.
Yeah.
If you get there early and get in the front row, it's at the VFW Park at the boat ramp there, and there's no chairs or gallery or anything. It's just standing room.
Yeah.
But we'll all crowd around there, and she will go all the way around the audience with these eagles, showing it to people, and then launch them and set them back free again.
Yeah, and Marge is great. She's been a guest on the show many times, and she's just a wonderful person. And to see her and to see those eagles free again, great experience. Yeah.
It hits you. It just gets you every time. I've seen hundreds of them released over the years.
Every time it gets you right in the heart. Jeff Barzin, Randy Jurewitz, our guest, talking about the annual Eagle Days in Sauk Prairie and about those wonderful birds. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking eagles and Eagle Days in Sauk Prairie. Eagle Days in Sauk Prairie, Friday evening and Saturday all day, with our guest, Jeff Barzin, with the International Crane Foundation for a long, long time. He also volunteers for the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. Randy Jurewitz, wildlife ecologist, administrator in the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Bureau of Endangered Resources for 32 years and retired, but he's an active volunteer with the Eagle Days in Sauk Prairie. By the way, I should mention on my Facebook page, we've got a link to all of the information that's going on at the Eagle Days event. You can just click on it and go right to it. So we'd certainly love to have you do that. And, of course, lots of callers online, so I think we'll just probably a good idea to go right back to the phones and see what's on Kim's mind next. Kim, hi. Thank you for calling.
I had a question and an observation. I fly helicopters for one of the major hospitals in the area around the tri-state Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And the eagle is the one bird that has no fear of aircraft. If you see a hawk or a crow or some other aircraft that's within your path, they'll do everything they can do to scramble out of your way as you're trying to avoid them. Not so with the eagles. Luckily, they're big enough that they're easier to spot than the other ones are, but there's been more than a couple of close calls where the eagle just looks over his shoulder at you like, I was here first.
Wow.
But my question was, I typically we see the eagles concentrated around waterways, rivers, lakes, and streams, etc. But lately, as I've been driving through the country, I look out and I'll see upwards of a dozen eagles hopping around in a cornfield on the ground, like a community of them. And I'm just curious what's brought them into areas like that versus their typical fisheries and where they normally hunt.
Mm-hmm. Well, the eagles directly in agricultural fields will be feeding on animal materials that they find in the fields. That could be a roadkill deer. It could be animal byproducts of a agricultural operation like afterbursts or dead pigs that died in a farrowing process or things like that that get put in the manure spreader and then put out into the field so that the eagles are there eating animal materials. In general, you won't find eagles in those ag fields unless they're relatively close, say within 10 miles of a good open water resource. So that we find eagles in ag fields that are in the Leland area and the Denser area and Blackhawk area, but that's because they have access to the Wisconsin River and they will utilize that river back and forth. You would rarely find eagles in an agricultural field that's, you know, 20 or 30 miles from a open water source, at least during the wintertime. So they won't be in any agricultural field, but just those that are located kind of near where they have open water.
Okay. It's just an unusual sighting. I wasn't used to seeing them in that type of an environment, so I was curious.
Thanks, Kim. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. And that's an interesting story about the helicopter, isn't it? They're the king of the air.
Biggest things out there, yep.
Wanda in Fond du Lac. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I had a story about eagle, too. Actually, Sunday my husband came home and he was telling me about it. He ice boats on Lake Winnebago.
Yeah.
And those ice boats, they go about 60 miles an hour. And he's been out on the lake, you know, the last 3 days. It's been really good ice boating. And he's cruising along, whatever. He saw an eagle, so he kind of went over by it. And he made a turn and was watching it float up, was kind of taking a look at it. And as he turned to go away from it, he ended up hitting open water. If he would have been doing his normal ice boating, going 60 miles an hour and hit that open water, he would have got hurt bad. So actually, like, the eagle actually saved his life.
Ah.
He floated to take a look at the eagle. So it was lucky that the eagle was there that he slowed up.
Oh, well, that's a good story. And he's all, your husband's okay? Did the boat sink?
Well, kind of halfway in. They got it out.
They were
work on it this weekend because they think we're going to have the regattas this weekend.
Oh, well, it's a great story, Wanda. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Oh, that's a cool story.
Yeah.
Colin in Appleton has another story. Let's go to her. Hi, Colin. Colleen, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Good morning. I live up Hollister on the Wolf River, where we have quite a few eagles. But a neighbor of mine was watching one day, and some turkeys were feeding at the river, drinking, and an eagle came down, grabbed a turkey by the neck, held its head underwater, drowned it, and then the rest of the eagles came in to feed on it.
Yeah?
Holy cow.
Wow.
Well, that's a first. I haven't heard of eagles killing, especially by drowning turkeys, but just about anything's possible. These birds are opportunistic. The one thing I would add is this was not a happy feeding session of many eagles. There's lots of competition, and so it was, once the turkey is there, I'm sure there's quite a bit of squabbling that can occur amongst the eagles.
No, the turkey wasn't happy either.
Well, no, that's true, too. But
that's for sure. Thanks, Colleen.
Well, welcome.
Yeah, that was a great story. I had not a good story for the turkey, but for us it was really interesting. John in Madison, hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, sure. Just wanted to let you know that there are about six eagles working Lake Mendota for the past several weeks. I live at the Cove Condominium on Lake Mendota Drive, just on the edge of Shorewood, the east edge.
Yep.
And there have been about three males and three females they're roosting in the university woods, but they've been there for several weeks, and it's kind of comical to watch them with the coots out there. There's generally a large flock of coots, and whenever the eagles are flying, the coots will bunch together in a ball, so they're just a solid mass. You can't even distinguish any water in a perfect circle whenever the eagles are near. And one of the neighbors saw an eagle take one of the ducks about a week and a half ago.
Very cool.
Yeah, eagles and coots have always been, it happens more in the spring when eagle migration and coot migration overlap, especially on the Mississippi River. And that is a normal defense posture of coots to gather in a tight ball, because the more individuals that are there, it's confusing for a predator, and it makes a it look big. So it's the predator will think twice about attacking it. But these eagles kind of know, I think that they know a lot of these individuals. They've been tested day after day after day, which your observations kind of suggest. And eventually they can find one that's not acting quite normal. A sick coot or a coot that's wounded might not quite get into that group of coots as quickly. And all of a sudden that individual coot can be singled out, and the bird will often focus on that. But sometimes an eagle will actually dive on a whole mass of coots, and it's, boy, there's water going everywhere and coots diving, and it's quite a show.
Although I have to tell you, I taught Scott Craven and I taught a wild game cooking class once, and we thought, well, let's try coot and just see. And what those eagles would see in coots, I don't know, because we could not make a coot taste good, to be perfectly honest.
But a coot is what goes into it. So in the springtime, coots are eating a different food, and they actually have tasted pretty good. We've eaten for collector's permits. We've eaten the carcasses when the mounts have been made and so on, and they actually tasted pretty good.
Well, it's not during the hunting season, it's not a good time to be eating coot. That's for sure. You can join in too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Talking eagles and eagle days today with our two guests, Jeb Barzin and Randy Jerwitz. Great to have them along. Thank you for listening in. I got an email from Amy in Linden, wondering if eagles eat geese. We have three domestic geese, and when they're out and about in the yard, sometimes bald eagles will circle above. The breed we have is a bit smaller than the usually kept breeds. We don't live near any large bodies of water, but have seen a good number of eagles over the years. Should we be concerned for the safety of our geese?
Absolutely. Yes, she should. I know having one of the things I did for years was pay damage claims, damage done by endangered species in the state. And when eagles were on that list, every now and again, I would get a claim for either geese or piglets or turkeys. And it's amazing that these were domestic turkeys, the big white birds, and they would buzz over a flock of thousands of these turkeys and just break them up and then pick out one, just like the coot story Jeb was telling, and then nail it. Yeah. And these were, big, heavy turkeys, and they would nail it and start plucking and eating and eating and plucking. So, yes, ma'am, I definitely think that your geese are in harm's way if you're not watching them.
Well, and I've told this story before, but when we were living on Lake Monona, when the ice was almost completely froze up, there was one open spot where there were probably 20 geese, some Canada geese, and some of them, there were a few up on the ice and some in the water, and an eagle came down and nailed the Canada. My wife happened to be watching when it came in and nailed the goose, which was really quite a sight to see, and didn't take long to kill that goose either from the look of it.
No. You get it. You know, and eagles are, in different parts of the country, eagles are focused on different foods oftentimes because they present different opportunities. And so in the Lac qui Parle area of Minnesota, that would be the very far west central part of the state, there's a refuge there, and crippled geese from the hunting season would stay during the winter, and eagles would flock to that area and feed on these crippled geese. And actually, they were exposed to, this was at a time when lead
shot was still used in waterfowl loads. And so eagles were very susceptible to lead poisoning because they're feeding so heavily on these crippled geese. But that was fairly somewhat unique to that particular area.
Yeah.
It's not a problem here in Wisconsin.
Jeb Barz and Randy Jerwitz, our guests. You know, Jeb, we haven't talked about that. I mentioned that you are associated with the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, but we haven't really talked about what that is. Maybe you could mention that before we take some more calls.
Well, Ferry Bluff Eagle Council is a volunteer organization. We're dedicated to preserving eagle resources in the broad Sauk Prairie area. And we work with businesses, private landowners, and just volunteers who are interested in eagles to protect habitat, but to educate people about eagles and to really bring together us as a people to embrace this wonderful resource that is essentially in our backyard.
Oh, it's really cool. And Robert in Portage has a question for you guys. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Do other raptors congregate around open water in winter, similar to eagles?
I'm trying to think of which.
Well, the osprey are gone. I'm thinking water-based raptors. The only other big raptor in Wisconsin that hangs around water is the osprey. But they migrate. They migrate quite early.
You'll see red-tailed hawks, and you'll see accipiters, which are like sharp-shin hawk or Cooper's hawk. You'll often see them around river areas, but that's more for the accipiters is because people are feeding birds typically along there, and the birds are there. The predatory birds are there to feed on the birds at the bird feeder. But there aren't any other raptors that I think either Randy or I can think of that would be considered as gathering along open water areas in winter.
Yeah.
So most of them would be eagles, maybe immature eagles. They don't have a white head and white tail. Still pretty dark. May look just like a big raptor, but are actually immature eagles.
Hmm. There we go. Thank you very much for calling. Where do the eagles, you know, they got all these eagles congregating in this one area, which is really kind of a great reason to be going to the annual Eagle Days event in Sauk Prairie. But where do they all come from? Are they?
Well, as we like to refer to our eagles, the eagles that are wintering in the Sauk Prairie area typically are nesting very locally. We might even have our own local birds staying all year long. We don't know, but that's quite a possibility. But from the band recoveries that we've had and from our radio telemetry work that we've done, the birds that winter in the Sauk Prairie area typically are breeding in northern Wisconsin, the upper peninsula of Michigan, and northeastern Minnesota, and perhaps the lower peninsula of Ontario.
And the Bureau of Endangered Resources, in conjunction with our sister bureau, the Wildlife Management, counted 1,312 active eagle nests in the state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
Again, every year we set a new record. 1,212 nests in the state of Wisconsin. Biggest concentration in Oneida County with 130 nests. Second biggest, Sawyer County with 56, Douglas 51, Burnett 65. But then all around, almost every county of the state has an eagle nest or two in it. We're just kind of missing the lower tier of counties in southeastern Wisconsin, but it has been an incredible success story for the growth and the recovery of bald eagles in the state of Wisconsin.
That is really amazing. And these nests, you ever seen a nest up close? That is quite a sight to see, too, because some of those things are enormous.
Very big, yes.
They can be measured in tons. When they've been built on year after year for a large number of different years, yes. But something that is often misconstrued is eagles are not nesting in the wintertime. They'll gather together in communal roosts at night, and some of these roosts are traditionally used year after year after year, but they don't make nests in the wintertime, and a lot of people suspect that they do. And, of course, you see eagle nests all year long because they're so big.
they stick out. What about golden eagles? Now we've seen golden eagles. We've had photos that people have emailed and or sent on my Facebook page, photos that they've taken of golden eagles. We've been able to identify them, and there are some now, and we can see here in the state.
Golden eagles are seen in the state every year, probably with growing regularity, especially along the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
There was a golden eagle who had a satellite transmitter placed on it and was released, if I remember correctly, in the Duluth area, and it's in the Mississippi River area now. In the Sauk Prairie area, we have golden eagles every year. Typically, they're first-year birds, but more and more we're often seeing adults that will be in the area as well. I don't know if we have any breeding records that are recent in Wisconsin, but they did used to be a breeding bird in Wisconsin.
Very interesting.
And there is a tour. Actually, there's 20 different eagle viewing events throughout the upper Midwest. If you want the entire list, if viewers would go to MidwestWeekends.com, they list all of them. One of which is actually a golden eagle viewing field trip out of Wabasha, Minnesota. The National Eagle Center hosts a four-hour motor coach tour to view locations. Cost $35. But on this website, MidwestWeekends.com, they list all of the other eagle viewing events throughout Wisconsin, Iowa, and down into Illinois.
You know what? We'll post that. We'll get Judith to post that up on our Facebook page, and so she'll probably have that up and done in a matter of a few minutes here. But that's that is very cool. Ron in Green Bay, hello to you.
Hi there.
And
I was kind of surprised to find that that there was actually there are eagle nests in Brown County. Friends of ours live in Suamico, which is just a suburb of Green Bay, and they had an eagle nest fall out of its perch a couple of years ago, fell out of its perch, and when they went over to the nest to examine it, they found about 8 or 9 cat collars in it.
Well,
they're probably collecting them from the local garbage dump. That is interesting. Wow, this is a very informative
morning. Feral cat control.
Feral cat control, except there were collars on them, so they weren't ferals. Oh, man, thanks, Rod. Mark in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, thanks for the opportunity. I was wondering if the trees that eagles nest in are protected. The reason I'm asking is the DNR got a little overzealous in their application of herbicides to Longtail Point, which sits out in Green Bay, and in the process of trying to kill the Phragmites, they killed the signature cottonwood that has a big eagle's nest in it. And as far as I can tell, there's no consequences. Are the trees protected?
Yes, they are. Under the Bald Eagle Act, everybody thought that the Endangered Species Act gave all kinds of protection to bald eagles in the country, and it did. But the original Bald Eagle Act, which preceded the Endangered Species Act, actually had, at least for eagles, even more protection than being listed as an endangered species. That sounds like it was a real mistake, but people make mistakes.
Yeah, that's too bad. Thanks, Mark, for calling. Appreciate it. David in Lake, Wisconsin. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi there. I just wanted to comment on the eagle traffic up here. I've lived up here for about 12 years, about 5 miles up from the Prairie du Sac Dam. Of course, lots of eagles down there and at the top of the lake in the river. But this year, more than ever, we've seen tons of traffic just trolling along the shorelines. I'm saying 4, 5, 6, 8 eagles in a given day, and that really hasn't been the case in so many years. You'd see them here and there, but it's unbelievable. I don't know what it is, but the traffic is really up this year. Just want to make that comment.
Thanks for calling. Randy or Jeb, surprised? Or
Well, eagles move a great distance on a daily basis, and Jeb's radio telemetry data has shown that. We were talking before the show that the population along the Fox Valley is down from around 200 down to 130 this winter, and those 70, 80 birds probably are cruising over to the Wisconsin River and back and forth. Jeb, how far did some of those birds travel in a day?
Well, we can't exactly tell in a day, but our birds in the Sauk Prairie area during really cold winters could go as far south to join up on the Mississippi River in southern Iowa and the central part of Illinois. And in really warm weather, they could move up as far as the Chippewa River and the Black River. So those are 100, 150-mile movements quite easy.
Yeah, wow. There you go. Thank you for calling. I appreciate your call. We have... starting to run out of time here, so I want to go back to Eagle Days in Sauk Prairie and again tell us what's going on here for this coming weekend.
Well, starting out with Friday night, 7 o'clock, there's a live Birds of Prey show at the River Arts Center. So that show will be repeated again at 11 o'clock on Saturday. There's going to be a release of rehabilitated bald eagles, live bald eagles released back out to the wild at 12:30 at the VFW Park. And one thing I didn't mention before, closing out the day is a presentation by Marge Gibson. After she gets done releasing the birds along the river, she's going to go back to the River Arts Center and talk about eagle rehabilitation and what it takes and how important it is to the future of eagles. And then we had a little extra time, so we squeezed in another speaker, some guy, Jeeb Barzan.
Or Jeb Barzan.
I think he's a Ferner. Anyway, at 2 o'clock, Jeb's going to be talking about eagle, bald eagle conservation and how important that is here in Wisconsin and the entire country. So a lot of different things, pretty much all starting at the River Art Center. Kids activities, free kids activities, free bus tours.
It's a great show. Wonderful weekend.
You know, and if there's a time that you started off the program saying that these birds are so inspiring, and that's absolutely true at all ages. And just to the quote that I could leave people with as to how that really affects kids and adults and everybody in between, a child at the Overlook was viewing eagles through a spotting scope bird on the island, and all of a sudden he went, "Oh my gosh," and he turned around and he went, "Mom, that eagle winked at me."
Well, if you want to see an eagle wink at you, the place to be this weekend would be the Sauk Prairie for the annual Eagle Days. And there's all the information. Go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We've got a link to the DNR's information sheet on bald eagle watching in Wisconsin. That's a great place to go. And Randy and Jeb, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
We'll look forward to getting you back again. Jeb Barzan, who is a volunteer for the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council and has been with the staff of the International Crane Foundation for 25 years. He directs field ecology there. Randy Jerowitz retired from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, where he spent 32 years working in many areas, but especially in the Bureau of Endangered Resources. So we're great to have those guys with us. They'll come back, and we'll do it all over again. Fun soaring in the sky with the eagles. Now we're going to come back to Earth, maybe even go underground a little bit. Coming up next, we'll learn about a worldwide potato gene bank. Where do you think it's located? It's right here in Wisconsin, and we've never talked about it, so it should be a fascinating story. I hope you'll stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.